I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A beast for a long time now. It's just, you know, sometimes God starts you early. Sometimes God pushes you a little bit later. This is Adrian's time, you know.
And again, a former first-round pick from the Bucks, and thing we said, Chuck, and I think you can probably echo the sentiments, he's a guy which I think was really overlooked at the Super Bowl. Remember, he tears his bicep up against Seattle, so we didn't have him out there as part of the depth in the rotation when we were getting gassed against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, well, when he was not there, I knew that, and that was going to be an issue because you just don't lose a guy with that kind of skill and just replace him. It is what it is, you know. And I just think that, you know, with him healthy and watch what all those guys can do and, you know, guys that work well together. But, yeah, you don't, you know, miss those kind of pass rushers, you know what I mean? It's just, you just got to try to figure it out, you know. You just got to try to figure it out.
Chuck, do you remember that game that you had five? I mean, what do you remember about the game outside of the fact you dominated whoever you were going up against? But, I mean, is it a situation where you get one and then you get two and you start thinking, hell, I might get five in this game? I mean, how does that play out when you're in that moment?
Well, I always remember the first thing is I was sick. I had the flu. And before the pregame, as I'm looking across the field, Willie Rolfe gave me the cut your throat sign.
Ooh.
And we have been with mortal, I mean, really enemies when it comes to football. I don't really like Willie. He doesn't really like me on the field. But you know how it happens, man. You get like a couple early. You know, it's like sacks come in bunches. So I went 1, 2, 3 in the first half, and I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't think nothing about it. Kind of like Adrian. It's like you just kind of just keep playing
because
you're tired. But you're not really counting sacks. And then all of a sudden, again, the second half, and I picked up two. And I actually had, like, four more, but they were holding penalties. And, but a lot like Adrian, man. It was surreal. But, you know, when it happens, you know, you know what's crazy? You're not really surprised, but because in games, there's always, you know, there's opportunities to get four or five more sacks.
Right.
So you really leave someone on the table, but when it happens, it's like it's phenomenal. And, you know, it's rare that you see a 6-sack game, let alone a 5 or even a 4.5 like Vic Beasley did, you know, last year. But it's one of those things that's pretty cool and really cool to watch, especially with somebody that has a high skill level. And no matter who he's going against, I love watching Adrian annihilate that kid because that's what I believe. I don't care who's out there. If they're weak, destroy them. And I loved watching Adrian destroy that cat.
And again, Chuck Smith was sharing that 5-sack day with the great Claude Humphrey, Hall of Famer for the Falcons. And again, Claiborne now the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Big Chuck Smith with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And were you talking trash to Willie Rolfe? Like, Joe Horn got your girl. Anyway, it is now it's on to Seattle, bro. And what do you – I mean, do you like the way the defense is playing? We make the argument the defense statistically has jumped up in almost every category. How much have you seen as far as improvement with his defense overall?
Well, numbers speak, you know. Men lie, but the numbers speak for themselves. So these guys are in the top 10 in defense. They've been solid all year. You know, they've been a great support system. You think about what happened in Chicago. You think about Detroit. You think about some of the games that, you know, they bowed their necks, man. They gave in Carolina. They gave the offense the ball back and several times when you look at the schedule. So, I mean, I just think what you're seeing is a great unit because as much as we're talking about the pass rush, you got to look at – I'm going to tell you what happened in this last game also is when we're just talking about the defense. A lot of times, Devondre had great coverage or Trufant had great coverage. So what happened was Dak Prescott had to look for his second and third read. So when the coverage was good, and, I mean, they were pressing guys at the line. I mean, Trufant then was so physical. Dez Bryant absolutely got knocked around. So Jason Witten was getting knocked around. So what happened was, and it's part of what we're talking about, this defense is playing as a unit. 11 guys doing their job, and they look great. So when you think about all the guys in the back, it really worked together to help all the guys have success, you know, when it comes to, you know, the pass rush, the coverage. And also you put Keanu Neal on the run. When no one's talking about him, huge factor on the run. So, but again, they're playing as a unit, and they deserve all the credit they get, and I hope they keep rolling.
It's a good point. Chuck Smith joining us, talking some Falcon football. We'll talk some college with him as well as Tennessee moves on from Butch Jones, and we'll ask Chuck what he thinks about that. But as far as the Falcons are concerned, Is this the turning point? You know, you always look for games, Chuck, that you go, all right, they put it together offensively. They came out in the second half. They scored, something we hadn't consistently done. You just talked about how well the defense is playing. Turning point in the season for this team, or is this just one of those, we played well, and, well, I don't know what to expect next week?
Well, I think you played well, and you're on to the next one. There is no, you don't celebrate now, because all the Falcons have done was win one more game. They're not in the playoffs yet. They're positioning themselves, but I think you're happy for one game, and you get ready for the next one. But I think one thing that helps, though, you know, offense, you get into a rhythm. You get some momentum going. I think the Falcons created some momentum. You know, they gelled here and there, but every week's going to be different. Seattle's different than Dallas. Minnesota's going to be different than Seattle. You know, Seattle's different than the Saints. So it's really one of those things. I guess you could say I'm a cliche man when it comes to just being a former player and being a coach, that you truly got to take one game at a time, because guess what? As soon as you're celebrating this week, next week they'll be kicking dirt over you and bury you in the grave. So you can't let the high get too high or the low get too low. You got to stay somewhere in the middle. Make sure you just prepare for both of them and try to stay level.
It's Big Chuck Smith, Joe, former Falcon. Chuck Smith with us here. You hear him after the game, post-game, by the way, of course. And you can vent your spleen about the Falcons hopefully winning against Seattle. But that's the thing. We were saying, why wouldn't they run Dak? Try to do some draws or get him out more, you know, get him in space. Russell Wilson, we know, is kind of going to have to run because his offensive line is banged up too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you this. I hope Russell Wilson does run. I mean, this is the type of defense going to run to the ball. And I say it all the time. If your quarterback wants to run and leave the pocket, there's a percentage to say he's going to get caught and he has a chance to get hurt. So to me, it's smarter to stay in the pocket, run when you need to, and do your best. But I think Russell Wilson's playing at an all-pro, you know, MVP type level right now. Doug Baldwin's getting after it. You watch Jimmy Graham, they're getting after it, and their offensive line has, you know, kind of become solid. Some good matchups there. But to me, the most important factor in this game for the Falcons, out of all the things that are going to go on, we know tackling, we know we run the ball, but to me it's going to be the discipline of the offense, and that's the offensive line, because the 12th man will be loud, and one of the things I want to hear after this game, that they had no false start penalties. Mm. That's going to be one of the biggest things this week when it comes to the offense and the defense also, you know, getting after them. But to me, the offense, you know, making sure they manage themselves with the loud noise and not set themselves back. So that's, I know it sounds like something that's, oh, that's whatever, but that's huge, guys. And, you know, I think the Falcons have a good shot to go in there and win, but this is a great rivalry that has developed, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Chuck, you know, a few years ago, L.O.B., Legion of Boom, and certainly had a lot of young, talented players. I'm not going to say we are there with where Seattle's defense, you know, what it became ultimately, but I do think we're on our way with a lot of the young guys you've talked about. But as far as Seattle, this isn't the defense we saw in 2012 or, for that matter, the last few years in the playoffs, is it? I think this is a defense that has been banged up. You know, one of the safeties, Chancellor Mayer, may be available. Earl Thomas is coming back. I'm just saying, you know, everybody wants to automatically assume that it's those same group of guys that they've had, that nucleus. Some of those guys are there, but a lot of faces have changed as well.
Yeah, they have, and that's what happens year in and year out. You know, all of a sudden you get, you know, Cam Chancellor injured, or like last year. You know, you got a Richard Sherman down. It changes. Next man up, but the next man ain't Richard Sherman.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just how it goes, guys. So the number two guy is never the number one. He's just a fill-in. But, you know, they added some, you know, Sheldon Richardson on the D-line. He's a good player. You know, Michael Bennett's always the fire starter on that defense. But, you know, that's a defense that, to me, and this is how I look at it, maybe on the road some of those things show up, but at home with that crowd, you're going to get your best from everybody on that defense. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to go in there and absolutely beat this team. You're going to have to be more physical. You're going to withstand that first quarter energy and they're coming out fast and just, you know, get back into your scheme and get after it. But I expect this defense at home. I mean, you guys know that 12 man thing is for real. And if you ain't never been there, cause I've been there, that defense comes out, it's like they got jets coming out of their back, man. So the Falcons just got to weather that storm, do what they do, and when it's their time, just keep slugging, keep punching, keep slugging back, and that's the way you fight these guys. You got to fight this bully head up, man. These guys are some bullies. They, you know.
Yeah, talk a lot of nonsense.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing, man. I remember Roddy White back in the day in the divisional playoff game, getting after it with Richard Sherman and Julio talking that smack. And I think Julio, little Carl, a little disappointed doesn't get Richard Sherman to abuse in this game. What about, though, are you worried about Free not being out there? Can Tevin Coleman handle that load?
Well, no, I'm not truly worried about it. But, again, you would like to have your guy there. But Tevin Coleman can handle the load. He's a explosive bat. He runs downhill. He makes a lot of the same plays Free does. He can work out of the backfield. He's a bigger version, but he's, you know, I mean, he's got a different kind of quick twitch. He's a big guy. I mean, he can catch out the backfield. He can block. He can run in between the tackles, outside the tackles. Ain't nothing else you can ask from a running back, Coleman. The key is offensive line creating holes, you know, for him. Because, again, this is a great offensive line, defensive line they're going against. And they're going to have to, you know, all men got to be on deck. You got to put your big boy shoulder pads on this week because and Michael Bennett's an absolute animal, man. And, he reminds me of Michael Strahan on the field. I mean, he comes on the field, he is enraged, but it'd be fun to watch.
All right, Chuck, let's switch gears, talk some college with you,
and
ask you about Tennessee. They turn the page, Butch is out. Here's the interesting thing. Florida's got to make a hire. Tennessee now does. We find out today that Jeff Long, the AD at Arkansas, is out, which he's the guy that hired Brett Bielema. Bielema's been there 5 years, hadn't done anything. The thought process is, all right, the guy that brought you in now is gone. Probably he's going to be gone soon. You might have three, maybe four jobs if, you know, Texas A&M opens up with Kevin Sumlin. Some people say he hasn't won enough. What does Tennessee do? Who's the guy to come in there and make it right?
Well, I think it's got to be someone that's a definitely offensive-minded coach, someone that understands the region, how to recruit. I think one of the great challenges at Tennessee is that you don't have an in-state great high school football, you know, base to pull from. So you got to go everywhere else. It's got to be someone that understands the region because you got to recruit the region. And, you know, they got, you know, put a few Band-Aids on some feelings there around the city and around in the athletic department. So I don't know who that may be, but he's got a big task, man, because, again, the people at Tennessee – they have the same feeling as Alabama, even though we ain't won nothing like they have in years. They feel like every year they're a team that should be winning national titles. But it's a big job, but so is Arkansas, so is Florida. I mean, but it says a lot to me about the conference of the, you know, people want to win now. You know, Butch, I mean, up till this year, you know, he won what would be, nine games a couple of years. And you got, you know, the guy down in Florida, McElwain, he did well. I mean, look, they ran Mark Rick out of town. He had, nine wins a year. So these cats, everybody want to beat Bama. I mean, everybody want them championships, man, and I understand it. So, you know, the facts remain, y'all. They can say school first, football comes first in this conference. So it's time for everybody to quit lying because if so, them coaches would still be there, most of them.
There's only a couple guys that are active that actually got championships right now. And even at Florida State, there's even people that are saying if Jimbo wanted to leave, it's okay. Hey, man. All right, Big Chuck. We'll be listening to you after the game.
Hey, we'll take Jimbo. Let him go.
Yeah.
I'm calling Jimmy Sexton right now. We'll take Jimbo. I'm calling his
Well, guess what? It's a package deal. You get dumbass Charles Kelly with him, so enjoy.
Oh, man.
Chuck, appreciate you as always.
All right, thanks, guys.
No doubt. There he is, man.
Catch him with Tribble, by the way, after Mike Conti does the post game. It's the after-after show where you guys can talk Falcons all night.
Yeah, fifth quarter. Call-in show. You can call in and rant and scream, and Chuck breaks it down for you. Hey, man, coming up, we'll head to Seattle. He just talked about that home field advantage. It is real, and they do a really good job up there. But Cam Chancellor, who left last Thursday's win in Arizona with stingers, not sure if he's going to be ready or not for Monday night. But you know what? Again, we talked about this yesterday, Mike, and Coach Quinn said he is not counting out our guy, Devontae Freeman, until they tell him he's out. So, you know, we've got our issues to deal with and seeing who's going to be ready and available, and so do they.
Yeah, Dwayne Brown, their left tackle, they got in the trade with Houston. He had an ankle issue. But remember, they played last on Thursday, so they got some extra days to get healthy. We'll talk to this Condotta guy, see what he's got to say, Carl, about Seattle. It's all coming up, plus Mike Conti's case you missed it, round the bend.
Coming up.
Couldn't play Soundgarden. It had to be Nirvana for Seattle. Okay.
And I'm cool with that. Love Nirvana, man. It's Dukes and Bell. But I don't necessarily like the football team up there, Mike, which we've got to play on Monday night. And here to tell us more is a guy that covers this football team on a daily basis, guys. Team's beat writer for the Seattle Times, Bob Condotta. And he joins us on the WaitForward.com hotline. And, Bob, appreciate the time. I guess the first question for me is, you know, we've heard about Seattle making all of these moves, practice squad, running backs. Who is the running back? Who's the main guy that we can look forward to seeing on Monday night, who will get a fair share of the carries?
I think it'll be Thomas Rawls. I'm saying think because it's been a real moving target all season, as you point out there. And they've really had a lot of struggle getting the running game going. But it was Thomas Rawls last week. Eddie Lacy got hurt 2 weeks ago against Washington. Rawls sort of replaced him and was the starter last week against Arizona. They did add a guy named Mike Davis to the 53-man roster this week, and I'm sure he'll play and get out there. But I doubt he'll start. And we're still sort of unclear on the status of Lacy. Obviously, like the Falcons, they're sort of just starting their work week tomorrow. So we haven't gotten a real sense of if he's able to practice yet this week. But so all that leads me to think that for now it'll probably be Thomas Rawls.
We got a lot of speed in our linebacker core, so we're a little still worried, obviously, about Russell Wilson moving around. Is he moving around by design, or the offensive line is not holding up?
Well, it's always they're always going to want to have him move around by design. I mean, even when they've had really good offensive lines, Russell did a lot of that. I mean, he gained almost 900 yards rushing, you know, in 2014 and things like that. So that's always going to be part of the game plan. But certainly, you know, they've had offensive line issues here the last couple of years. And, you know, another spot where some injuries have really crept up here the last few weeks, they went and traded with Houston to get Dwayne Brown, and then he got hurt pretty early against Arizona last week. It's sort of unclear if he's going to be able to come back. Luke Jokel, who was their big free agent signee, has only played, I think, 5 games, and then he had to have knee surgery, and I don't think he'll be back this week. So there have been issues there. Russell has been having to move around a lot because he's been getting a lot of pressure. But, you know, it's always part of their offense, too. You know, the zone read is always going to be a big part of it, and bootlegs and things like that. So, you know, they're at their best when Russell is moving around and making things happen. They just want it to be more by design and less because he has to.
Bob, what are they not doing well, in your opinion? What is Seattle's issue, if you can point out one or two, maybe, as you've watched this team over the course of the season?
Well, I mean, the biggest one is the offensive line and just getting that running game going. I mean, it's real un-Pete Carroll-like to see them have these kind of issues. You know, from 2012 to 15, they ranked every year as one of the top 4 teams in the NFL in rushing. Obviously, they had Marshawn Lynch during that time as well. But even when Lynch was hurt a lot in 2015, you know, they got it going with Thomas Rawls, who had a great rookie season and were able to do some things. And they've really struggled with that the last 2 years. I think they're 22nd in the NFL right now in rushing, barely better than last year. And last year, they sort of pinned a lot of it on the fact that Russell got hurt early in the year and couldn't move around a lot. No, this year that hasn't been the case, but they still are struggling to get a running game going. So, I mean, I think that's number one. You know, the defense has been a little bit more prone to give up some big plays, and that's sort of what's hurt them. You know, I think in general the defense is still playing at a really high level, but they've just had some uncharacteristic breakdowns that, you know, really just cost them a couple of their games, especially the game a couple of weeks ago against Washington, where they, you know, they really just completely stuffed Washington's offense all game, and then the last series they gave up 2 long pass plays that allowed Washington to score the winning touchdown. So they've had a few more things like that, and then, you know, obviously what they got going on now is no Richard Sherman for the rest of the year, so we'll see what kind of impact that makes. Atlanta will be a great test of that to see if to just see what a difference it makes without Sherman out there. You know, we haven't seen this offense or this defense play without Richard Sherman in basically 100 games going back to the midpoint of the 2011 season. So, you know, it's hard to know yet what a problem that is, but I think that's one of the biggest question marks about the defense going forward.
Kind of handicap in Seattle with Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times covers the Seahawks here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So Byron Maxwell comes back to the nest after making some green in free agency, but how quickly does he get plugged in?
Well, I don't think he's going to start immediately. You know, I think they'll go with what they had at the end of the Arizona game after Sherman got hurt. They've got Shaquille Griffin, who's a rookie. They've been pretty pleased with him. He's been playing the opposite side of Sherman. I think he'll stay there. Jeremy Lane, I think, will continue to start on the other side for now. Lane began the season as sort of the starter and ahead of Griffin, and then he got hurt early in the season, has been in and out of the lineup, and then they actually tried to trade him to Houston as part of the Dwayne Brown trade. He failed the physical there and came back to Seattle, and right now that looks like a godsend for the Seahawks that they were able to keep Lane. You know, Lane's been with the team since 2012, has been a starter off and on, and has played really well at times, so I would assume he continues to start. But, you know, they brought in Maxwell. They were going to have to sign another cornerback anyway to fill out the depth, and he was sort of the available and obviously knows the defense and all of that. So I think for now he's sort of a depth guy and all that, and they give him a week or two to sort of figure out where he is and go that route. And, you know, if Lane struggles or Griffin struggles or something like that, then they've got another option there.
Seattle's been racking up penalties. That's also been an issue. this season?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're leading the NFL in penalties, so that's always an issue when you're doing that. They had 16 2 weeks ago against Washington, was the second most in NFL history or team history, and then had 12 last week. They're still on pace to set the all-time NFL single season record for penalties. So, yeah, you know, the biggest thing has been on offense. They've had a lot of holding calls and a lot of false starts. Jermaine Ifedi, their right tackle, continues to lead the NFL in penalties. I think he has since about the third or fourth week of the season, and he still gets one or two per game. They've really just struggled with penalties on that side of the ball. They know it. They're working at it. So it's not like they need to be told about it. I mean, we've all written about 8,000 stories about penalties and all that. So, it's not something they're not working on, but it's obviously easier said than done to just cut out penalties on game day. So, we'll see. I'm sure a team like Atlanta, especially their front seven, I'm sure will try to do some things to maybe force a few more of those.
They are on pace, guys, for 164. The franchise record for Seattle, 138 in 2011. So
wow.
That's a big deal. And for Falcon fans, I mean, listening to this, Bob, obviously we've had our fair share of penalties. As a matter of fact, Dan Quinn came out and said they've got to play disciplined football. But Seattle is certainly something they got to get fixed if they want to make a run in the playoffs.
Hey, Bob, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, they committed a lot of penalties in the years when Dan was here, and they were winning the Super Bowl and then going to another one as well. They led the NFL those years, and they used to feel like, especially on defense, they've always sort of accepted committing some penalties as part of being an aggressive defense. And, a guy like Michael Bennett gets some offsides penalties, but they've always sort of lived with some of those because he also beats his lineman off the snap an awful lot by trying to anticipate the snap. So they've always sort of thought, well, one offsides a game might be worth the one or two sacks he gets because he reads it properly. But this year it's been more of an issue of the offensive penalties and the ones they're getting there, especially the pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. Those are the ones they really want to cut out.
From the Seattle Times, it is Bob Condotta talking about Seattle versus the Falcons. By the way, they get Dwight Freeney, Carl. Remember, we had some Falcon fans,
yeah.
Bob, that kind of was hoping we'd see him back here. But how quickly or how slowly is he getting integrated into the defense?
Well, no, it was fast. He's had three sacks already. He had three sacks in his first two games. He had two in the Washington game. So, no, he's been a big factor. That's another spot. Injuries sort of forced that. Cliff Averill got hurt against Indianapolis in the fourth game of the year. Placed on IR, uncertain if he'll be able to return this season or ever again with the nature of the injury that he's battling. So, they were kind of scouring it. And, it sounds like they had sort of kept in touch with Freeney a little bit throughout the year to just gauge his interest. And if he wanted to play again, I think Freeney was happy. It sounded like to not have to go to training camp and all that and then sort of wait for the best available offer once the season came around. And when Averill went down, they talked to Freeney and were able to get something done here. So, he's part of their defensive end rotation, no doubt. So you'll see him out there, 20, 30 snaps a game or so this week.
Well, I tell you, man, it's going to be fun to watch on Monday night. This is a rivalry. By the way, Pete Carroll, do we know if Pete Carroll and Coach Quinn, how frequently they talk? Has Pete talked about that?
I think they're close. I don't know that they're, I don't know for sure how if they're like talk every day kind of thing. Quinn was sort of interesting. He was kind of a guy that Carroll inherited when he got the job here and was one of the few coaches that he sort of kept. They hadn't really had much of a relationship prior to that. Quinn had been hired here by Jim Mora in 2009 when Mora was fired and they hired Carroll. Dan was one of the guys they kept. He then went to Florida for a couple of years then came back as a coordinator in 2013 and so was the coordinator for both of the teams here that went to the Super Bowl. So certainly they're close. I don't know how often they talk or anything.
Hey, one last nugget for us. So we've gotten better defensively, speaking of Dan Quinn's defense. One thing, though, tight ends over the time, Jimmy Graham used to give us fits when he was with the Saints. Is Graham back on track? I mean, I know that I was looking at the stat. I think he's like the leading touchdown receiver for Seattle right now.
Yeah, they've gotten that part of it going more. I don't know that he's ever going to get the kind of numbers that he got with the Saints when the Saints were throwing it, 70% of the game. Seattle's throwing a lot more now than they used to, not really by design, sort of right. Just because they've had to, because the running game has not been getting things going. They have been getting it touchdowns. Graham has five touchdowns in the last four games, had two against Arizona. They're struggling to, but they only have two rushing touchdowns this season, which is pretty amazing for what this team usually does. So, they're having to be forced to go to other routes to actually get the ball in the end zone. And Graham has been the beneficiary of that. So, if you look at his yardage totals, they're sort of down from last year and and all that, but the catch totals are up and the touchdowns are up, and that's really, I think, where they want it to be the most right now.
Well, we appreciate your time, Bob. Interesting stuff, and again, we're just trying to get the info on this year's Seattle team. A little banged up, and so are we, man. We'll see what happens on Monday night. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Hey, some good stuff, man. Yeah, they're banged up with penalties, but will the refs call the penalties?
That's a good question.
And also, one thing we didn't talk about with Bob, it's about right now, again, we've got a long way to go, but it's a 50-50 chance of rain. It's temperatures in the 40s on Monday night, and again, it's Seattle, so you know it's going to be misty at some point, a little funky out there weather-wise.
Best thing, or at least the two best things that I got out of that, Mike, and just looking at some of the numbers and the research as we start to get ready for Seattle, I knew they were struggling with their O-line. No Dwayne Brown. Remember, they traded for Dwayne Brown because they felt like that was something they needed moving forward. If he's banged up, again, we can get pressure. I think that's something we've shown we can get on Russell Wilson. And then number two, they're not running the ball effectively. We can make them one-dimensional with the way we've shown that we can stop the run.
But, you know, get the heat on the quarterback. Now, you want to keep Russell inside the hash marks.
Right.
But, so I would imagine, Carl, typical Falcon game plan. That cover three, keep everything in front of us, and, you know. Hey, that would be some plays. There'll be some yardage there, but you don't want Russell escaping and making things and improvising the way he did against the Cardinals.
Hey, man, we'll talk more about the Falcons during the Falcon Report at 5. Coming up next, it's Mike Conte in case you missed it. Oh. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the Dogs and where they currently are in the college football playoff rankings. Rankings came out last night, but right now we need to spend some time with our man Mike Conte in case you missed it. By the way, it was gold yesterday. Thank you for the reference that I can't get out of my head now. And people continue to tweet at us all night long.
You know, I actually went on change.org to see how the petition is doing right now. And if you weren't with us yesterday at 5:40, there is a new high school in Farmington, Utah. And they had a community poll to pick a new mascot. They decided to pick Phoenix, the Phoenix, like rising from the ashes.
Much like Atlanta. You know, it's on everyone's uniform in Atlanta, the resurgence,
and
the logo.
Yeah. That's exactly, every cop's uniform at least, yes. And there is a concerned citizen, Mr. Froughton, out there in Utah, who believes that the plural form, he believes the plural form of Phoenix is Phoenixes.
Phoenixes,
and
yes.
He does not want his children attending a school that has the mascot Phoenixes because he believes they'll be subject to ridicule. I checked the petition today.
Right.
They're up to 3,700 signatures.
Did we actually find that Phoenixes is the plural of Phoenix?
You know,
because I just thought Phoenix was Phoenix. I just thought it was never, like we said yesterday, hippopotamus is hippopotami. But for the most part, I thought a Phoenix plural would be Phoenix, not Phoenixes, not Phoenixes. But the Fighting Farmington Phoenixes, Carl, would be a lot of fun to play against.
Okay.
And that's a Phoenixes first down.
So
don't say it too fast.
According to Webster's.
Yes.
The plural noun of Phoenix is Phoenix is.
Ooh.
So it's not Phoenixes, it's Phoenix.
It's not Phoenixes, it's not Pheni.
It's not Pheni. Yes.
No,
okay.
It's not
so
that.
This guy's barking up the wrong tree with his Phoenixes.
That's a crackpot.
Yeah,
that's basically what he is.
But Mike, let's be honest, that is a difficult enunciation, is it not?
Phoenixes.
Phoenixes?
The Fighting Phoenixes.
Mm,
well, it's easier than saying slip disc, which a lot of guys struggle with.
Or bulging disc.
That's what I'm getting to. All right, fair enough. Either way, thank you for the gold moment yesterday, Mike Conte.
My pleasure. Happy to.
A lot of people did get a kick out of it. We just want to give you 330 listeners a little taste of the action.
Yes, Mike.
A little piece of the Phoenixes.
Mike Bell made numerous.
A big piece.
Mike Bell made some off-color similes to Phoenixes that I don't know if they made it cleanly through the air or not, but I know people who are listening to our online feed who are not subject to the delay.
Get the dirty stuff. Yeah.
Yes. You get the blue version of Dukes and Bell. Okay. Now, I really, really try not to do this ever on the show because I don't want people saying, oh, he's reading a Trump tweet. He must be a Trump guy. Or, oh, he said something about a Trump tweet. He must hate Trump. I don't want to.
No, you're just being a newsman.
Road.
You're being a newsman.
Ever
this
go down
this
that.
News crosses over to our world, which is sports.
It does. Today it does.
So President Trump at 10:11 this morning tweeted the following. Do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed for 10 years in jail! Exclamation point. They had a press conference this afternoon. LiAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, and Cody Riley after their arrival last night at LAX from China, where they were subject to 10 years in prison for not only stealing from Louis Vuitton, it came out today, these clowns stole from three different places.
Three?
In China.
Three?
Yes.
So maybe they should be kicked off the UCLA basketball team? What do you think?
No, Mike. No. That would be a gross overreaction. They are just being suspended indefinitely.
All right.
Anyhow.
I mean, garden variety in the SEC, that would be you're going to miss at least four games football-wise.
Well, it's three pints and you're out.
I'm not sure what that translates to in Pac-12 basketball.
It's three pints and you're out in the SEC.
I was asked this question. Rick Cantlay came back. He forgot something. And we were talking about this just about 10 minutes ago. Mike, I think they should be suspended for half the season, at least.
I don't think – well, if you listen to what UCLA had to go through and the State Department mm-hmm. and President Trump himself, what they had to go through to get them out of there, they should – I'm with Mike Bell. They should be expelled from school. Anyhow
– take the scholarships.
President Trump tweeted that. This was the first thing LiAngelo Ball said at this press conference this afternoon.
I respect them all the hard work that they put in to get us back to the United States. I'd also like to thank President Trump and the United States government for the help that they provided as well.
So President Trump asked via Twitter to be thanked, and LiAngelo Ball thanked him.
Well, you know, you have to ask, and you shall receive.
Well, I mean, one would think you would have to ask. You'd think you just offer the thanks, because otherwise you're in a Chinese hooscow for a good part of your next 5 years,
well,
potentially.
Can I be honest, though? All right, this is me talking, not Conti. He just got back from, like, this 14-day, you know, China trip, North mm-hmm. Korea, la, 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 la.
Well, they sent him to North Korea?
They were absolutely not in North Korea.
Well, in Korea, yes, in Korea. But the point is, and you're on Air Force One, and you're tweeting about these young men thanking you? Just a thought. Go ahead.
I would.
Send those texts to carl.dukes at cbsradio.com.
I would just, as a point of information.
Yes.
Completely not taking a side here, just as a point of information.
Yes.
When the President of the United States has to personally intervene to prevent someone from going to Chinese prison for 10 years, that is a very big deal.
It is.
That is a very big deal.
By no means am I dismissing that. You don't have to ask for a thank you, do you?
Well, it's like...
You're the press.
I mean, I would think you would assume the athletes in the USA would just thank. But I hear what you're saying. It's a different world we live in, Carl.
Let me put it to you a different way.
All right.
And Brian and Arthur chime in on this as well. Let's say you have you attend someone's wedding, and you write the bride and groom a nice little check, a couple $100,
mm-hmm.
and you don't receive a thank you note.
Disrespectful!
Right. Do you feel some kind of way about that?
Sure you do.
I think those people should be in a Chinese prison.
What? Was it an open bar wedding?
Yes, it was open bar.
Okay, I'm all right with it then.
You're all right with not getting a check?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, or not getting a thank you.
Not getting a thank you? Nah, I'm good. As long as it was an open bar, full liquor, we're good.
Brian brings up a good point.
Arthur?
I'm ringing the doorbell.
Yeah.
We've got to have a discussion.
That's right.
So you just want some acknowledgement.
Yes. Thank you for your more than covering your plate.
Okay.
I told you.
Here's the difference. And it's a great analogy. But no one knows what you wrote in that check.
Right.
And everybody knows that the President of the United States got involved with this event. We all know. You don't have to ask for that. It's a given. You've done an amazing deed to get these young men home.
I told you the man wants some of those Zo2s.
Well, send me some Zo2s.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Alonso's got to go send some shoes to the White House.
Well, no, he did send another tweet saying now mm-hmm. that China respects the U.S. and wants trade. So maybe that's part of the deal. Like, there's some kind of Zo2 trade agreement with China, and everyone over there is going to be wearing Zo2s.
I want to say this. This is Mike Conti, in case you missed it. He's talking about the UCLA kids coming home, what UCLA's punishment is, what the Pac-12 is saying about this.
Right.
I'm glad they're home. We said this. I don't want those young men to be over in China and have to deal with jail time. But no punishment. I mean, really, we're talking about suspended indefinitely. What does that mean?
They could be back in a game.
Correct.
Well, I mean, as you said, it's one thing if these kids, you know, on their own time wandered off to Sherman Oaks Mall and shoplifted, which is bad enough, but you created a freaking international incident.
The one thing I would say about UCLA, Steve Alford is their coach, who played for Bobby Knight. Steve Alford's very much a no-nonsense kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not like I don't even want to name certain coaches who are historically very, very lax about player discipline.
Right.
I would not put Steve Alford in that category. Now, LiAngelo Ball's girlfriend, Isabella Izzy Morris, went on her Insta this morning, the gram, and put up a photo of her and a at least half-naked, if not fully naked, LiAngelo Ball. And the caption says, "Old pick, same love," which is being taken as a de facto confirmation that she is standing by her man in all of this. Would you like to see a photo of Isabella Izzy Morris, Mike? There you go.
Nice. Okay. There you go.
Keeping in mind, she might be 17 in that photo.
I feel dirty touching this, Carl. I'll pass it to you.
I mean, you've got a shirtless, at least,
as we've
shirtless
learned, as we've learned recently in Hollywood, a statute of limitations goes on forever. So I'm not, I want to, I can disavow any knowledge of this, this picture.
I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, okay.
So. just looking at it.
Giancarlo Stanton, this has been a big topic at the general manager's meetings where Alex Anthopoulos, the new Braves GM, is attending. They're at a Waldorf in Orlando, if you'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a lot of talk that teams are trying to strike a trade with Derek Jeter, who now owns the Miami Marlins. Well, Giancarlo Stanton threw himself a birthday party at a club called Hyde in West Hollywood. He did this over the weekend.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised you guys didn't make the guest list because it included Wiz Khalifa and G-Eazy, or maybe Jeezy. I don't know if the hyphen is silent or not.
Okay.
But anyhow, he's supposedly dating this Lexi Pantera. You guys know who that is?
I don't know. Who is she?
No clue.
I don't know.
She's some kind of singer.
All right, let me look her up. What's her name? Lexi what?
Lexi Pantera.
Hold on, I'm going to look her up.
Lexi Pantera.
She performed her hit single, So Good, and now people are alleging that she and Giancarlo Stanton
are pretty. I mean, what do you expect a guy who's one of the big stars in baseball to
be? Is it So Good?
Not my cup of vodka, but, you know, to each his own.
You see her?
I'm looking at her right now.
What's she look like? Who she reminds you of?
Like a bit of a Spanish Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Not that bad in the face. I mean, that didn't come out right. The point is for a young Sarah Jessica. Oh, never mind.
Mike Conti, man, he will have the pre and post tonight.
That's right.
Hawks.
Hawks are favored tonight, by the way. First time this year.
You're darn right.
Favored.
Mike, you got a guy?
Call your guy.
I might need to get on that.
Hawks fever. Catch it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.